Carrie and Tommy about to go off.
The Carrie and Tommy podcast begins in just seconds. Powered by Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Tuesday afternoon, and it's not just any Tuesday.
It's roast day.
It is roast day, because how are you feeling?
Well, it's not roast day for everyone else but us, because the roast is happening tonight. You'll get to hear all of it on our show tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm very nervous.
Do you reckon they'll get to hear all of it? Because I reckon there might be a couple of bits and pieces.
We're going to make sure that our beautiful listeners get to enjoy most of it that's legally able to be played.
Yeah. Jesse, you stood on Carrie's joke. I'm very nervous, and then you went, do you reckon? She said, for you. Pointed at me. But you didn't even get to
it. It's comic timing, you know? I get it, because I'm a comedian.
Can you guys, before tonight, sort your shit out?
Yeah, I have. I won't be performing.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Hey, we do have one of the stars of Entourage joining us later in the show. But up next, so I, there's a new thing on the internet that I am now obsessed with.
Okay.
I found myself late at night last night watching it over and over and over again. It's usually a guy thing. Yep. And I...
sure we can...
We need to talk about it.
Okay.
Because it's so good.
Okay, that's next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So I've spent the last two nights up late watching the same video over and over.
Literally the same video or the same type of video?
There's three I watch in rotation.
Okay.
How long are these videos?
Real quick. Okay. Yep. They're short little ones. And I'm sure you guys have seen these over the years and watched them and enjoyed them, but they're new to me.
Okay.
And we need to discuss the fact that I've only now discovered the joy that is a quick pit lane car changeover at the Formula One. So
we're swapping genders, because you know you've started watching pit lane changeovers. I've started watching French bulldog videos. There was one the other night where they dressed it up as a bumblebee and they were floating it through the garden, like holding it and going bzzz. And I reckon I've watched it 200 times.
Well, I've done that with the pit lane change.
Yeah,
so here's how it started, right? So I went to the Grand Prix on Sunday.
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to give you an update on yesterday. I absolutely loved it. So I took my son, Ollie, who's obsessed, right?
Yep.
He got there. He said to me the night before, our train's at 7:15 a.m.
In the morning.
Pardon? And he said, we'll go in at 7:15. I said, absolutely, I will not be going in at 7:15 a.m. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, I've got to be there. And I'm like, when's the first race? He goes, 8:30, got to get a good spot, got to get my merch. I got to be there. And I said, I can't. Like, I can't.
No.
I can't be there from 8 a.m.
Does he want to watch all of the pre-race races?
He watched. So I told him to go in on his own and he caught the train in and he loved it, right? Anyway. Mama came in about one.
That's when the bar opened.
When I'd done my hair and put my outfit
Otherwise, Mama would have to get up at midnight to start getting ready.
But when I saw, so I went to visit him when I got there and no time for me. Like, eyes on the prize. Couldn't care less that I'd arrived. Sweetheart, but not like, don't get in his way.
Yeah, Mum, Formula 4's on at the moment.
Well, he actually said to me, you should have come earlier. I could have talked you through all the race and stuff. And this is where he was right, because I didn't realise how much I'd get into it. He got into it so much that at the end of the day, I caught up with him and he came to join me and he said, water, Coke, Red Bull. I said, what? And he goes, I need water, Coke, Red Bull. And I said, you look hot. Do you think you should take your jumper off? And he said, Okay. And I said, have you taken a jumper off today? And he goes, didn't have time. I didn't want to miss anything. And I said, what do you mean? It takes a second to take a jumper off. But he didn't want to miss. Yeah. And he hadn't left the spot he was standing to eat or drink.
Wow.
Because he didn't want to miss a second of the action, right?
What time's this now? 4 p.m.
In the afternoon at some point, right? And I'm like, Ollie, like the Formula One is not worth not eating for. Like,
well, apparently it is.
Anyway, then I'm standing in this box area overlooking where they what is it called? The straight
lane.
And the pit lane, right? Mm. And the first sort of cars started coming around having their tyres change. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then I started looking down and then I started timing them. I was like, oh, they're fast, aren't they?
Timing them in your head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One, two.
Red Bull's three. Super quick.
Are they? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so next to us was, and I didn't make the connection, was a green team. And a green team's car in front, which I now know was Steak, which was Bottas, who we had in the studio, right? Anyway, there's like a partition between me and the people in that are also watching the tyre change. And so I just start offering my thoughts because I'm obviously an F1 nut.
Well, and you've been keeping time.
Yeah. And their,
and
their changeovers, so slow.
No good because
they were having issues. They'd change the tyres and then the car still wouldn't take off. And I was like, and so I started giving my thoughts and I was like, that's too slow. Like that's going to hold him back. That's, you know, and then he was like, I know. And then it came back around again. Same thing happened again. I said, they're not making up any time this way. Right. Anyway, I said, that's pathetic. Like they got to work on that. I said to the guy, anyway, what do you do? And he said, oh, you know, I'm in Formula One. And we said something anyway. I know nothing about any of this, right? So then I start asking what he does for a job and he says, oh, I don't work. And I said, why? And he said, I made all my money in crypto. And then I was like, ah, right. And then one of my friends who was with me who knows a lot about F1 leaned over and he said, you know, the boss of Steak made all of his money in crypto. I think you might be telling the guy who owns the team how shit his team's going right now. Oh. And then I asked him if he owned the team and then he said no. And then he went really weird. So I don't know if he then didn't want me to know he owned the team or he didn't own the
team. Maybe he just heard everything you'd said about it and he was like, I don't know if
I mean, I don't know if he cares my thoughts on what's happening
maybe
with how
he does.
Slow. And he was, if he did own the team, he was super chill about the fact that his team was sucking at that point. Right? I mean, I would have been like, rah!
Yes.
And that's what gets it done.
Yeah.
Well, I had some thoughts I could have yelled out through the window.
Yes.
A few champagnes under belt, which I think helped.
Awesome.
Anyway, when I left, I couldn't stop thinking about how slow their pit lane change was. And I've been watching it. Do you want me to show you?
No.
It's so slow. I've watched it so many times. And then I watched Red Bull's one. And then there was the guys, I think it was Ferrari next
your
to it.
Your new obsession is watching videos that you've filmed yourself.
Yes.
Carrie and Tommy. Driving you home from 3 till 6 for your Tuesday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Not Sydney Tuesday. It is roast day. Our roast day tonight is full. There are no tickets left. But if you want to come see me at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, my show is on sale. Tommy Little has a regular size deck. I would love to see you there. There are cheap tickets for Easter weekend as well.
Oh.
Yes. Bickers.
You should put eggs under the chair. Little surprise.
No, there's two. That would cost me so much money.
For an Easter egg?
That would take me so much time.
It'd be so joyous for people. Easter Sunday, you'd be like an Oprah. Look under your chairs, guys, and they'd get like a big Cadbury egg.
I'd get it wrong, and I'd put them on their chairs, and then they'd all get dumped in their pants.
It's pretty funny, though.
It was so funny. I dumped myself.
And then they're always walking out with these big, like, brown patches
to see
on their
ass. Well, there's been a Tommy Little fan. Okay. He's done himself again. Someone goes, no, I didn't go to the show. Okay. Good stuff, Trevor. Bickers, very simple question. Eyelids too thin?
Oh, the skinnies. As you get older, too
thin. Is it an aging thing?
It is absolutely an aging thing. And you're right. By the time you're 90, they're like paper.
Because mine don't block out all the light. So I don't have blackout blinds in my room. And when the light comes in the morning,
even when I shut my
eyes, I still get a bit of light in. And I wanted to know, do I have thin eyelids or does everybody, Jay, you are the youngest member of the team.
Do you have blackouts on your eyes?
have you got blackout blinds on your eyes?
I think so, but I think your eyes roll back, don't they? So like your eyes actually don't sit directly beneath your eyelids when your eyes are closed.
Is that right?
I don't think so.
That's so creepy.
So if they open, pull back my lid as I was laying there, my eyes wouldn't be facing up.
No, they'd be facing back. I think they would face back, yeah.
But mine are clearly not because I'm getting light in.
Yeah.
So do I have to concentrate on rolling and... Oh, that's
We've told you you should get an eye lift, though.
You should.
You should. Yeah. Make it a bit tauter, maybe. Oh, no, but then
but
that's...
But what, can I get a lift and thick?
Yes, but then that's taking his lid, isn't it?
Can I get a lift and thick?
No, I don't know if you can get
it. Oh, maybe they
fit.
Could take part of and do a double layer.
Do you reckon? Part of what?
Skin graft.
Like skin graft.
The extra skin.
It's the only other place that you've got skin that's the same, guys, is you have to take a graft from there.
From
you know,
where?
The other thin area.
No.
My.
Well, where else is it?
No, that's got blackouts on it.
Oh, then it'll work really well.
Side note, eyes. You know you can just wear like a what's it called? An eye mask.
Carrie, you've lost faith in comedy because you should have waited till after I had four surgeries to tell me that.
Carrie and Tommy.
It's Tuesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And wouldn't you rather be driving Australia's number one selling vehicle, the Ford Ranger? Discover why at your local Ford dealer.
Heaps still to come in the show. One of the stars of Entourage joins us just after 4 o'clock.
He's got an issue with you too.
Does he?
Yeah.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I ran into him on the weekend.
I'm friends with his friend.
Where did I run into him and what did he have to say about you? We'll tell you very soon.
Yeek.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Don't Carrie Tommy know about songs and hits? When it comes to music, do they know their stuff? Have they paid attention to the music through the years? It's time now for the music trivia quiz. I said it's time now for the music trivia quiz.
Because would you like to know your category
yes.
for this week? I think you'll be very happy because it is the 90s.
Yes.
What one-hit wonder artist saw brief success with this 1997 song?
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed.
That's the question.
To say Sheryl Crow, it's not.
No, it's a one-hit
wonder. No, Sheryl had more than them. Can't remember. Yes, I am.
I'll give you. You can also have a point if you can name the Australian comedian who did a parody version of that called Bloke and performed at the MCG on Grand Final Day. Massive hit.
Got no idea.
I'm a bloke. I'm a yobbo, and my best mate's name is Robbo.
Yeah. Who was that?
That was Chris Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic comedian. So you didn't get a point there.
No. Nope. And who is the actual artist?
Meredith Brooks.
Oh, Mary.
Meza. Meza Brooks.
Brooksy.
Brooks dog. Okay.
Oh, we got a bit of bloke if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a bloke, I'm a yobbo, and me best mate's name is Robbo. Winfield is me cigarette. I dress in flannelette. Share a singlet that is bloke.
Hopefully. Chris, if you're listening, hopefully that swings some royalties your way. Carrie, there is no chance you're going to get this question. Are you ready?
Yep.
Where did Bone Thugs and Harmony want to meet in 1996? Can you name any of Bone Thugs and Harmony?
What's their song?
It's
Can
great,
you play a little bit of it for me, or is that going to give away?
Might give it away.
Give it away, I reckon.
Can you sing a little bit?
No, that'll give it away. There's Crazy Bone. There's Lazy Bone.
They're not accidentally Kelly Street, are they? They're not meeting on Kelly Street.
They're not meeting on Kelly Street.
No.
What happens when two streets meet together?
An intersection.
Oh, but it's not quite that.
No.
What's it called in America?
A crosswalk.
Oh,
a crossroad.
The crossroads is correct.
I never knew that's what they were saying. I never know what people are singing. Where does it go on to say something else? They were da 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 da. What's the? Yeah. I just go.
Which girl band reached number four in 1998 with Never Ever?
Never ever have ever felt so low.
Oh, someone knows the words.
It's from the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
But what are they
it.
Called?
Never Ever by.
There's a few of them.
They're not sinners.
All Saints.
All Saints is correct. Well done. Who sang the number one hit from the 1995 film Batman Forever? The soundtrack. We're not going to play it too because, of course, it'll give it away.
Batman Forever soundtrack. Who sang it? Was it a girl or a guy?
It was a guy. He was married to one of the most attractive women on the planet.
Angelina Jolie?
No, who's the guy that sang?
But is that the girl?
No.
No? He was
married to a Victoria's Secret model.
Oh.
I would go to say probably the most famous Victoria's Secret model.
Butchkin.
No, not Butchkin. It wasn't Giselle Butchkin.
Also, that's Brady and he didn't sing. He played sport.
one of them.
He did play sport.
Didn't he? NFL or something?
She's from Germany?
She is from Germany, yes. But would you like the hint that the producer has given me?
I would.
Let's not forget, this is the producer that last week gave us a multiple choice of Coco, Momo, or Jojo. The hint is they have the same name as an animal.
Oh.
The singer. So was it giraffe or was it?
Lion. No. Dog.
The puppies
otter?
Of the sea.
No. Otter. Sorry.
No, it's the otter one.
Seal. 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 We can play all these tunes. Forget the game.
If only Batman was here today, he'd appreciate that.
No, he would, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Finish.
Your roses in bloom.
Yep. Go on.
Don't know the next line.
Well, this is interesting because you said earlier in the quiz that you didn't know any of the words, but now you're starting to know quite a lot of the words. So we thought we'd finish off with a finish the lyrics question. Finish the exact lyrics to this song.
She'll make you live a crazy life, or she'll take away your pain like a bullet to the brain.
Upside, inside out. She's living la vida loca.
Well done. With absolutely no help from outside, you got 4 out of 5. Well done.
We've got the noughties for you up next.
Ooh.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And if you are just joining us, we're in the middle of this.
You, Carrie, Tommy, know about songs and hits. When it comes to music, do they know their stuff? Have they paid attention to the music through the years? It's time now for the music trivia quiz. I said it's time now for the music trivia quiz.
All right, your era, the noughties.
The noughties. I think I should be okay at the noughties.
Yeah, I think you should too. Yeah. It's right up your alley. What three colours does Mika? I don't know what this question means. Mention in his 2009 hit Grace Kelly.
Or
do you have the song hook there?
Yeah,
even though you're colorblind, I believe you've got this.
I could be blue.
Yep.
I could be violet.
Yep.
And I could be, I thought it was anything else. So it's not. I could be, can I hear it again? And there's only three.
Yep.
Right. Yellow.
No, blue, brown, violet, blue, and violet.
Oh, I got the order wrong.
Oh, my God, is it violet sky? Violet what? I thought it was anything else, too.
I thought you just went, violet.
I could be violet in the sky is the lyric.
What's that mean?
I could be blue. I think it should be, I could be blue. It's too late to do edits for poor Mika. He's not getting back in the studio, is Mika.
Okay, which Robbie was a rock DJ?
Williams.
Yes.
I don't want a rock DJ.
I think that, him and Kylie.
I think another question would be name another Robbie.
Robbie.
Because I can only think of McEwen, the cyclist.
Robbie from Take That.
Oh, of course, classic answer.
I can't remember his last name. What's his name?
Wasn't that Robbie that. Williams?
No, and name another Robbie.
Oh, no, that was the Robbie from Take That. Yeah. Sorry, I thought there was another Robbie. What's another Robbie?
I can't think of
him. Is he the most famous Robbie there is? Yes, must be.
I think so.
Yeah.
There's Bobby Fischer. He was a chess player.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was made famous in either a Beastie Boys song or a Hilltop Hood song.
Hilltop Hoods, Cosby Moves Sweater. Like
I was Bobby Fischer.
Oh.
Always 5 steps ahead or something like that. Yeah.
Finish this.
Great lyric.
Finish this lyric.
Summer has come.
Terrible song.
The innocent
has come to pass.
Oh, who picked that song?
has come again. Oh. It rhymes with ass.
It's not even a country song.
Play it again.
Country song. Oh. I'll get this, don't worry.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent
is stuck up can never, my ass.
Can never last. Wake me up.
Can
let him do it.
Last.
It's almost as bad.
Wake me up when tomorrow comes.
Not when tomorrow comes. Okay, maybe the naughties won't be my friend.
Okay, what is the surname of all of the cores?
We got a bit. Leave me breathless.
So is the boy that sits at the back, is he the brother?
Is there a boy?
Yeah, there's three women and a man. Is he a brother? Because I thought it was three sisters and a ring in.
Oh, so what is the surname of all of them?
They're all related.
Are they?
Yep.
I thought they were all cores. So that doesn't help me.
They are. They're all core.
Core.
Their last name is Core, not cores.
That's fine. Yeah,
yes.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Plural, obviously, together, they're cores. Which Britain's Got Talent winner had the best-selling album of 2009? You've got this. Bonus points if you can remember what song she sang in her audition.
Britain's Got Talent.
Britain's Got Talent.
I've got no idea.
Come on. What's the one
I've got Kelly Clarkson
singer,
in my head.
No,
I know
the singer that was so controversial. The world kind of turned on her, unfortunately.
The world turned on her.
She had the voice of an angel, but...
Didn't she live alone for like her whole life?
I think she was...
Alanis Morissette.
No.
It wasn't Ellie Goulding. It wasn't...
No. You're thinking of the most unlikely looking pop star.
Yes.
Do you remember?
No.
We have her song.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
I've never heard
what
this
a voice.
Is this Pavarotti? Who is this? Is this Susan Boyle? Oh, it's Susan Boyle.
Yeah, Susan Boyle.
Good
Do you know
her.
One of the guys I run with?
Susan.
No.
That's a coincidence.
We had to send through our pump-up music to get us up a mountain. That's what he sent through. He runs to Susan Boyle.
Isn't it ironic because she couldn't get up it?
Gary and Tommy.
Yeah, that is where you're at for your Tuesday afternoon. And if you are just joining us, well, you've come just in time.
Yes.
So Entourage was one of the biggest series of all time. Like it was before there was series after series after series. It was like the OG.
Yep.
It was whenever the HBO music comes on at the beginning, the first thing I think of, and Jesse and I were talking about this the other day, it makes me think of Entourage.
Yes.
Right? And it was awesome. Now, you've never seen it.
No, I've refused to watch it because I thought it would make me angry at my own life.
Oh, yeah, that's understandable.
I mean, of all of us, your life is probably the most similar to it. But
true.
I have to say, yours is quite tame in consideration, to be honest.
I don't doubt it. That's why I thought it would make me angry.
But one of the manager of the whole show, Ari, Jeremy Piven, is in town at the moment. And we were like, let's get him on the show. Let's talk to him.
No, that's not even how it happened, because.
But for some reason, we can't. Anyway, why could we not get him on the show?
No, none of it happened like that.
What?
My friend is friends with him. And sent me a message and said, hey, man, Jeremy Piven's going to be in town. Can he come on your show? He wants to come on your show.
Oh.
And I said, absolutely.
Yes.
And then he sent through Jeremy Piven's personal email. And our producer, Pippa, was like, so now do I just email Jeremy Piven? And they said, yeah, absolutely. And then she didn't hear back from a week. And then my friend sent me a photo of him with Jeremy and goes, hey, this dude, blah, blah, we're hanging out here. Let us know if you're around. And I said, no, but why hasn't he got back to
our
producer?
Oh, that was the one you sent to the group WhatsApp on Saturday.
And then he goes, oh, he's just let me know that he's just found the email now.
Right. So then I get to the races on the Grand Prix on Sunday. And who should I run into? But Jeremy Piven, right? The man that we can't get on. We keep seeing in the wild, but not in our studio. And then I thought, oh, great opportunity to ask him to come on. But no, this is what he said.
Hey, it's Jeremy Piven here. Listen, I would do your show, but I'm not a fan of Tommy. I got to be honest with you. He fancies himself to have some sort of fictional entourage. He's viciously mediocre, and he slept his way to the middle, but I celebrate him with the power of Christ. That's it.
Slept his way to the middle.
It's great, isn't it?
But because I am the producer of the year, what have I done? I've organised Jeremy Piven and we're going to speak to him up next.
Gary and Tommy. Gary and Tommy. Woo!
Across Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
One of the greatest characters of all time. If you haven't seen Entourage, what have you been doing? I'm looking at the man across from me who hasn't seen it because he's too scared to see it because he thinks it's too much like his own life.
No, no. It'll make me angry at my own life. It's very different.
To welcome to the show now, Ari, otherwise known as Jeremy Piven. Welcome, Jeremy.
All right. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, just to set the scene before we chat to you, I think I'm just going to play some of your highlights. You'd know them, but just to put us back in Ari mode.
It's pretty urgent that in the 15 minutes a day I have free, I take the time to keep this body fit. And not just so you have a great ass to look at, I want to live.
That's why no more guys. You fire a guy and you create a rival. You fire a woman and you create a housewife.
I have work to do. I have hundreds of clients to deal with. And just so we're clear, I don't care about any of them. They're all just a number, like wife number one and therapist number seven. Good day.
And I'm going to shatter his world because a shattered world is what you get when you mess with Ari Gold.
We promise not to mess with you, but it's delightful to have you here. How are you going?
I'm doing really well. You know, it's kind of fascinating that you found clips without swearing. And unfortunately, the character swears so much that a lot of the buttons, the tags for those jokes were all swearing. So I feel like that was a festival of setups. And, you know what I mean?
Well, if the setups made us laugh, that's good to know. That if you watch the show, everybody, the payoff is very much worth it.
Well, Jeremy, you would know this from the world of stand-up comedy as well. Often when you go on shows, when your punchline is a swear word, when they introduce you, they will play a clip like we have just done. And they literally just play a setup to a joke. And then they're like, how funny is that? And you're like, that wasn't actually the joke.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great transition into my stand-up, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah, man. Yeah, but it's your job to figure out how to make any situation funny. You know, that's the job of a stand-up. And you know, people, listen, I'm honored that people, because I haven't released my special yet, so people are going to show up at the Palais and the State Theater. See that transition, Tommy?
Yeah, that was good
for me.
That was good. Learn,
this is how you do it. Okay. That's how you make an organic transition.
You're taking nuts.
Yes, indeed. They're going to show up because they know me as an actor, you know, and they don't know me as a stand-up, although I'm going to send you guys some of my clips because I love doing it. I'm touring with your buddy Monty.
Yes.
And he's a killer.
He's great.
So they're going to have, you know, a couple hours of good laughs. Otherwise, I'm going to be viciously mediocre, and they're going to want their money back, and it's going to be a disaster.
I didn't know you were a stand-up either, and I was so delighted when I ran into you, and you gave me your flyer.
My flyer.
I was like, oh, for a stand-up show, and it was just such a joy to know that side of you. When you were doing the character, Ari, how much of it was ad-libbed in yourself, or did you just happen to have a similar sense of humor as the character?
What's so interesting is you immediately... and I appreciate this, that I have matched that character, it was written for me or it was a documentary. People get very confused and there is a huge compliment in there. The reality is every role that you play, you have to inhabit that role and you can't judge them and you throw everything yourself into them. And that character was, every single word was written by the great Doug Ellen. And then it's my job as an actor to make it feel improvisational. Now, I am, ironically, an improvisational actor. I grew up at, you know, touring with Second City with Chris Farley a million years ago. So I come by stand-up, honestly, because I've been writing, you know, for a while. And, it's my job. And that, you know, I'm a stage actor from Chicago. And Ari Gold is a type A... douchebag from Hollywood.
Not that I was saying that's the bit that's
similar. No, that's what you're saying. You know what you're saying? No, I get it. Let me read through the lines for everyone else. You're saying, because the first question I always get is, how much are you like Ari Gold? In other words, how much of an asshole are you really? And, you know, if we play, you know.
And what's the answer to that?
The answer is, I mean, you're not going to want to hear the answer because the reality is, like, you know, I'm... If you come, I tell you what, if you come to the Palais Theater, which you guys closer to, Palais or the State?
We can do both. Palais. We can do both.
Okay, we'll do them both then.
Yeah, we can do both.
Let's get crazy.
Oh, that's a big commitment. Do we need to do both?
Well, I think I'm actually going to be in each city.
Well, listen,
when you're
if
in
I suck at the Palais, then you don't have to make it to the stage. But I love pressure. I love it. I really do. It's fantastic. I mean, people are like, well, you know, they're going to have huge expectations. I love that. Because, and I'm not just saying this, the thing that I get the most after my shows is, we didn't know you were this funny. And in other words, you've been sucking for 30 years. I've done 80 movies it's a huge shot in the arm when I can make people laugh for an hour set. It's my honor.
Jeremy, you mentioned Chris Farley and Second City. For those who don't know, yeah. Second City is home to a lot of the great comic actors. It's a feeding ground to Saturday Night Live. And Chris Farley, one of the great comic actors of all time, tragically taken too soon. Wild were those young years kind of kicking around in those circles?
They were so wild that I had to tap out. I mean, Chris was an absolute beast. He was so funny and inventive and a force of nature. He did everything that way. You know, he would work hard and he would play hard. Until a million o'clock. And so, you know, I knew that, you know, I needed to kind of find some balance, you know, and this is turning into a really bad TED talk, by the way. So I need to just calm down. You need to be a healthy artist, because if you're, you know, destroying yourself and there's only so long you can keep that up.
It's interesting.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I will take note. Jeremy, we could talk for hours with you, but we'd love if we could keep you for a few minutes and keep chatting up next.
More with Jeremy Piven up next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Tuesday arvo, and Entourage star Jeremy Piven still joins us.
Entourage was, it's been one of the biggest shows in the world, and it is about the Hollywood lifestyle. How much, through doing that show, did you enter into that lifestyle? Because, you know, I imagine just being part of that show was also life-changing for you, and suddenly you found yourself in the situation that you were portraying.
Well, ironically, the show started just before social media blew up, and, you know, people were still, it was just before TiVo, you know, yeah. And it's like people would gather around Sunday nights and they would watch the show together. And that's how I knew we were kind of catching on, because it was, you know, it was like must-see TV. Like, but for me, I lived outside of Hollywood. I laid really low. I wasn't in the scene. You know, that's not a judgment. I should have been in the scene schmoozing, because then I wouldn't be here talking to you guys. I'd be, you know what I mean? I'd be out there, you know, on a jet with Leo DiCaprio, you know, and The Rock counting our money. By the way, The Rock is the highest paid actor in the world, and he's never taken an acting class.
Yeah.
Do I sound bitter? Because I am. And this is the type of hilarity you can expect.
But that, I feel like, isn't The Rock just what Arnie was many years ago? In terms of, he was taken from a grassroots thing, which in Arnie's case was bodybuilding. In The Rock's, it was wrestling. And then he was thrust into the acting world as like this larger-than-life muscled dude.
Yeah, I... You know, and then we've got John Cena and a lot of guys you know. But, you know, it's all part of it. There's something for everyone. Just because, you know, I've been training since I was 8 years old and they make $22 million a movie and I make $11. You know, nothing makes sense. You know, we just kind of keep going, because the thing is, you can't go out there and, like, you know, look for things to make sense and look for justice and all that kind of stuff, because it just doesn't, nothing really makes any sense. You just keep grinding and it'll all work out.
You mentioned before that, and you're like many actors, that you've been in so many shows on Broadway, but you are very renowned for one particular role that was a standout. Does that make you irritated, or do you feel honored about that?
It used to make me irritated because I was a little bitch and I was triggered. But at some point you have to grow up and you have to evolve. And, it took me a long time to realize, my God, okay, I'm in their living rooms. I played this character authentically. They're confused. You know, I have guys coming up to me, you know, saying, I'm a douchebag because of you, bro, because of you. You know, and they smack you and you're at the urinal and it's awkward. But, you know, I connected with them, and, you know, it's up to us. If we want to change the narrative, you know, you could spend your life trying to be understood, but I think it's good to understand as opposed to being understood. This is getting really deep, you guys.
I'm here for it, though. I studied acting, and then as soon as I did my first stand-up gig, I basically never looked back because I found it such a refreshing change to not being told where to stand, what to say, what to do.
To do the same line over and over again. Times, yeah.
Do you find stand-up refreshing compared to acting?
Completely. It's the ultimate freedom. But one can inform the other, oddly enough. I had a comic say to me, you're going to be a better actor after you explore stand-up. And I thought, how can I be a better actor? How is that even possible? I'm very modest. But no, it's true, because you're getting up and you're performing every night and you're using different skills. Of course you're performing, but you have to interact with the crowd. You have to figure out the nature of these jokes. So you're writing. I mean, you're just a one-man army. And be careful what you wish for. I wanted all this freedom and I got it.
What's your gear what's your area that you play in with your comedy? I don't know much about your personal life. Do you have family? Is it about that sort of stuff? Is it about work? What's it about?
It's about, what's cool is, and we can maybe even revisit this after you guys see my show, because that would be really fun. I'm all over the map. I mean, I tell stories about, what it's like to have lived this life and, the backstage life of all of it and observational stuff, impressions. It's a little bit of everything, and it's not derivative of anyone else's comedy, just because the thing about comics, you have to speak your truth and you're up there doing your thing. And so, it's definitely coming from me. I'm all over it. I feel like right now I'm trying to explain a joke, which is never funny, Like I talk about, I'm getting older. And, you know how you're getting older? I used to look at a woman in a short skirt and I'd be like, damn, she's hot. And now I'm like, I wonder if she's cold.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get older.
Got to take a Cardi with you at all times. Yeah.
Well, I know my friend who's a great Australian comedian, Monty Franklin, he is opening for you, and he has spoken nothing but the highest praise. I can't wait to see your show. You're performing at the Palais Theatre, and that's in Melbourne, and in Sydney at the State Theatre, April 2 and April 4. If you want to see Jeremy Piven live, get your tickets at ablivetouring.com.au. Jeremy Piven, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for taking the time. And then next time we speak, Tommy will have some respect for me. That's all I can say.
I can't.
It's going to happen.
We'll come see your show, and then you can come into studio for a review. How about that?
Okay. Done. Listen, don't pull a knife unless you're going to use it. Do it.
Thanks, Jeremy, so much.
Thank you guys very much.
Thanks. See you later.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out more at alintaenergy.com.au/truepower.
Now, I know if you were honest with me, you would agree that you don't think I'm that supportive of some of your more creative ideas.
No.
No. Great.
Dream crusher.
We're on the same page. until now.
Oh.
Our next guest can turn dreams into a reality. And I think we should pitch her some of the insane ideas that you've had over the years about ways to make food more creative and see if one of them has legs to make you money. So just to refresh your memory, because you forget most of the things the day after you've said them.
I can't think of one of them.
Here's some of the ideas you've had over the years.
Dessert fries. For dessert, three nights in a row, I've had fries. Gym team. Go to the gym, they work out how many calories you burned off, and then you can have that in canteen snacks. Flavored crinces. Instead of fragrances, they taste and smell amazing. Edible chopsticks. Chopsticks comes with a little extra dipping sauce. Dunk that in and nacho lasagna.
Lasagna with mission chips. Delicious.
Yes, that's a less catchy name, but sure.
She's got $250,000 ready to invest. Should we pitch them to her next?
Yes.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because this next guest is a squillionaire, a business mogul, and a best-selling author. She's also one of the stars of Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars, which premieres tonight at 7:30 on Channel 9 and 9 Now. Would you please welcome the one and only Janine Ellis?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Janine.
Hello.
Hello.
Tell us about the new show.
Oh, look, it's okay, so basically 30 people who have got a business idea in food, a food or beverage, and we're not talking necessarily a cafe, it could be like edible cups or a plant that you grow food in your house, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, 30 people, we get it down to 14, seven on my team, seven on Gordon's team, and we fight it out. And Gordon and I are ridiculously competitive, and it's all on for everyone, young and old.
Janine, I've obviously heard the language that Gordon is capable of, and he's a formidable opponent. I don't know if I've heard you swear. Do you swear like a trooper behind closed doors?
Oh, look, I have my moments. Don't we all have our moments?
Absolutely. Really?
You know who I'm married to. Of course I do.
Janine, you are the expert at this because you know firsthand what it's like to grow a business. We want to talk to you more specifically. Tommy wants to pitch you some of the ideas he's had over the years, genuine ideas that he thinks would be brilliant. But before we talk about that, for people that have somehow missed your life journey, which is rare because you were so well known for how you started Boost, can you take us back to 2000? Like, how much money and what did you need to start the shop, the franchise we now know as Boost?
Oh, look, well, you know, back then, like, a lot of Australians, the only equity we had or any money we had in our home. Banks wouldn't touch us, so we had to sell our family a home, put all the money in the business. And that's, I was 32, three little kids at home, and had no freaking idea about business or anything, really. And then, but actually that was naive. The naivety was my golden bullet, because I didn't know what I didn't know, and then I just started. So, you know, it's basically we get in our own way, Kerry, and we just go, oh, we can't do it because of all this. I didn't know anything, so I didn't get in my own way.
Do you think it's harder or easier now to start a business?
Neither. It's hard to start a business anytime. Like, you know, there's not an easier time. I think in the 20s it was hard. I think people sort of always assume that different eras have different things, but at the end of the day, four out of five businesses fail, and there's a reason for that.
So correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel like Boost had this incredible success, and there was a few years where it had a tiny bit of a lull, and it is back now stronger and bigger than ever. Is that an accurate sort of synopsis of its journey?
Look, I think that every business has its ups and downs. It never had... never went into anything bad. Like, it always sort of, you know, had that steady growth. But, you know, all sorts of things happened, like COVID. That was, it struggles with COVID. But I think that the reality is with all business, you have to continue to reinvent yourself.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, has there been any points during those lulls where you're like, oh, this is too hard? Like, what keeps you knowing whether to go back in, invest more and reinvent yourself, or quit while you're ahead?
Oh, look, the business is always a growing entity. You've always got to keep reinvesting yourself, time, money into your businesses. At no point did I sort of throw in the towel. I mean, don't get me wrong, there was days, you know, in the early days when I had three kids at home and I've gone, I've had enough now. Can I not be, you know, it's like being a parent. Some days you don't want to be a parent. Okay, I'll be one tomorrow, but can I not be one today?
Janine, you mentioned then that four out of five businesses fail. What is the most common mistake you see new businesses make?
Look, they surround themselves with people that aren't great. It's mostly people. They run out of money, so they don't manage their money properly. They don't actually speak to the customer and forget that the customer is everything to them, and they sometimes think the customer is an inconvenient part of business. Look, there's millions of reasons, a long list of reasons why companies fail. But often it's just because it's people and customers. They forget about their customers.
My son, who was looking at starting a business, I was doing a lot of research on businesses, and he said the number one rule, and I'm going to get it probably wrong, is you shouldn't go into business with a best friend. The most successful businesses, if it is with someone you know, are often with family. Have you heard either of those things, and do they stack up?
Oh, look, I have got a relationship with a family member, which is working really well. But honestly, the amount of disasters I've seen with people doing it, friends and family, can you imagine if someone invests in you and you lose their money, what Christmas is like? Like, it's pretty bad.
I mean,
so you've got to be prepared for it going badly, and then people aren't as forgiving as you think.
I was going to say my family Christmases are pretty bad anyway, so it'd be nice if there was an excuse.
Spice it up a bit.
Yeah.
Do you remember, and would he be in your top 10 employees of all time, Tommy, working at Boost Juice?
Yes, and I know Tommy knows the recipe for a Mango Magic. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, Tommy is like our perfect boostie. I'm just really sad that he got famous and he left us, really.
I can't imagine him being that good at it. Were you actually good at it?
I was unbelievable. I'll be back, Janine. Don't worry. This is fleeting. Boost is actually my purpose.
Oh, great. Well, good. Look, anytime, give me a call. I'm there for you.
Thanks,
okay.
Janine.
Up next, Janine, can you stick around? Because Tommy's come up with all these crazy ideas over the years of ways to put a spin on food or sort of merge two foods together to create a superfood. And the ideas never take off and they fall flat. But this show is literally made for him. Can we pitch some to you and you tell us which one has legs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll do that up next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Your Tuesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and we are still joined by Janine Ellis.
Yes, Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars, starring Janine Ellis, premieres tonight at 7:30 on Channel 9 and 9 Now. Now, Janine, I hate to do this to you because I feel like I have done this to you before, but you are in the business of making businesses successful.
And this show is particularly about creating creative foods.
Yes. And all I want to do is have a successful invention. Would you humour me, Janine, if I pitched a few to you?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay.
Why don't we just play it?
Here's a short list.
Dessert fries. For dessert, 3 nights in a row, I've had fries.
Gym team. Go to the gym, they work out how many calories you burned off, and then you can have that in canteen snacks.
Flavored grinses. Instead of fragrances, they taste and smell amazing.
Edible chopsticks.
Chopsticks comes with a little extra dipping sauce. Dunk that in and...
Nacho lasagna.
Lasagna with mission chips. Delicious.
Yes, that's a less catchy name, but sure.
Janine, I'm going to lead with, my strongest one, which is flavrances, which is
You're going to explain it again?
Yeah, that tastes good. What do you think?
A fragrance that tastes good?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're kissing someone and often you kiss their neck and you get perfume and it doesn't taste good, imagine if it smelt amazing, but it also tasted amazing.
Oh, so you get people licking, not just kissing.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that could work. I mean, there's parts of the human body that doesn't smell that great. So, hey, mate, there's something in there.
Yes.
Okay, so what about, because the two that I think have legs is edible chopsticks. I think that's a very good idea.
Yes.
I'm with you. I immediately took me back to my childhood and, you know, those lolly cigarettes. I kind of pictured them, but in chopsticks.
Yes.
I reckon they're good. Maybe not for a Chinese meal, but, you know, as a dessert, a Chinese, you basically eat your dessert, that fried ice cream.
Yes.
And then you eat it with it and then you stick your chopsticks in. I love it.
And also, Janine, because I thought they'd be, and we're moving towards less and less waste, and there'd be zero waste if you eat essentially your cutlery.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know that on the show there's edible cups.
Oh.
So, yeah, I know. So it's like having your coffee cup in a Weet-Bix.
Are they on your team?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Sorry, what? Want to know how to do it?
Janine, will you invest money in my edible chopsticks?
Will you actually do anything about it other than just get my money?
Yeah, I will. What would you like me to do?
Okay, I'd like you to see if it's possible. Okay. I'd like you to actually make it. I'd like you to create a product. I'd like you to do some customer research, see if it's okay, do the cost of goods, find out what the customer wants to pay for it, set up a manufacturing, and then come talk to me.
Janine, on to the next idea.
Your ADHD would suit that really well.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be great at it.
Back to your edible cups. Our producers just have thrown one at us. They had one in here ready to go. So I'm about to put water into a cup that's edible. So I'm drinking from it.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I eat it. Do I just eat this cup?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like a dry. Oh. There you go. I can hear it. It's like a dry Weet-Bix, isn't it?
Wow.
Why am I eating it again?
Because you could just put milk in it and then that's your breakfast.
Yeah. So you have your coffee cup in it. You have a coffee in the morning and then instead of throwing it in the bin, you eat it.
That's great. Carrie,
Janine. Or I could just order a muffin. Like, you know,
Janine.
I feel like
no.
In that box that they've given you, make sure you take that chili stuff home and add it to scrambled eggs. It's amazing.
Okay. Okay. Also, I should tell you,
these edible cups. Carrie's Do you know there was the kid at school that used to just eat cardboard in the corner? That's what it feels like.
Carrie's also not a dreamer.
No, I'm not.
She doesn't like new ideas.
Why don't you pitch the new idea you've got, the actual not food idea you've got at the moment?
No, because I'm actually trying to do that.
Are you actually going to do that, though?
I'm actually trying to do that.
Well, then you should call Janine off air and get her advice.
Should we take this off air just for a second, get Janine's thoughts?
Yep.
And then come back.
So
Janine, this is just me and you and Carrie.
Are we off air or are we on air?
We're off air.
Okay, so just put in some music on now.
Okay, we can go back on air.
So we're back on air now. Tommy just pitched his idea to Janine out of 10, Janine.
Well, I don't see it as a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's trying to solve a problem that's not
where,
there.
Janine, is this where marketing gets involved and I convince people they've got a problem and that I can solve it?
Well, no, this is you speak to the customer, see if they think there's a problem, and then if the customers don't think it's a problem, there's no point.
The customer is you, and you're the one that complains all the time about this thing happening in your life.
Oh, Carrie, be honest at this point. Didn't you ask some other person that did hot yoga?
I did some market research for you, and this person did hot yoga, and they had the same problem you did. Yes. But that's only two people, and I think market research is like thousands.
I look around the class, and everyone's doing it. Anyway. Janine, we can't.
Dream crusher, Janine.
We can't wait to see the new show. Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars. It's tonight, 7:30 on Channel 9. Janine, Alice, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
No worries, guys. Cheers. Bye.
Carrie and Tommy.
Coming up this hour.
Sorry, because you can't speak so loud when you've got a hammer in your hand.
Let me hammer this home to you. Coming up later in the show, I'm going to tell
the hammer
you
down first.
What live thing a man found inside of him in the middle of an operation.
Okay.
It is insane. Okay. And it's not a hammer.
But why are the tools in your hand?
Well, it just, sometimes this job doesn't fulfill me enough. I like to, on the side, just tinker, do a bit of building cubby houses. In the corner there.
No, there's nothing in the corner.
Dog kennels.
There's no dog kennel. Hammer, hammer, hammer.
Yeah, hammer,
just,
hammer, hammer.
Bang it on the bench. You've got it there in your hand.
Yep.
That's a water bottle that you just picked up.
Hey, it's a big night for us tonight.
It is.
It is the roast of one Thomas Little.
Thomas.
Do I have to call you Thomas or can I call you
again? If you put the hammer down, you can call me whatever you want.
The hammer is down.
No, it's still in your hand.
The roast is happening tonight.
Why are you picking up a wrench?
Stop it.
You're really on the tools this afternoon.
I will. And I will get this nail gun and I'll nail you to the freaking wall. If you don't just help me talk about the roast that we've got going.
Regret that choice of words.
Why?
I don't know, Gary. I don't know. Check the tapes, I reckon.
Just don't do drill next, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was I doing before? Nailing you to the wall. Honey. I am funny, as I hopefully will be tonight at the roast of Tommy Little. It is happening tonight. We're going to bring it all to you on air tomorrow.
Yes.
Some of the best, sharpest comedians in the country are sharpening their
pitchforks.
Pitchforks, pencils, whatever they're going to use to take you down tonight. Can you contribute something to this chat about
you're
the
on
roast?
The tools?
Just
I don't
please
know why
talk about
contribute.
The roast. I'm just doing all of it. It's stressing me out.
We're going to bring you the roast tomorrow.
Is that all you've got? I've already said that.
No, no, that's why I stopped talking.
Well, just
play some music, Jesse.
Get people excited.
Oh, Jesse, don't you pick up the hammer now.
Do you want me to give you one of the things we're going to say about you tonight?
No. I want to hear it tomorrow.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
This is disgusting.
I'm ready.
Okay. Look what they pulled out of a man's stomach in Vietnam.
Oh. Give us a look.
Is it an?
Oh,
is it a thing or
has that gone up his old fella?
It is a 30-centimeter long eel.
Has that gone up his old fella?
Alive.
Has that gone up his old
inside
fella?
Inside of him.
Has that gone up his old
okay,
fella?
So this is the annoying thing about these stories. They often don't say how they got in there. He refused to tell them how it got in there.
Otherwise, you just
no. He sat on it.
They say he couldn't explain how the eel got inside him. Doctors believe it entered his anus, slid up his colon, bit through his intestine, and entered his abdomen.
Oh, he fell on it.
He
poor
fell
bloke.
On it.
Poor boy. You're just having an innocent night
was
at just
the market, in the bathroom,
and you've just slipped, and you happen to fall on the one eel that's placed right there.
It is the look how long it is, 30 centimetres long. They got it out. He's okay. The eel was still alive. So then I did a bit of Googling. What?
What are you going to fall on?
What other animals?
No, because
can you put up there?
Because you know, there's things from the Amazon that go
no,
up.
Yes, don't.
Yes,
no.
And then they live inside of you.
Yes.
How's this? So a boy, he went fishing with his mates, and then he was uncomfortable afterwards, and they found a 2-centimeter-long fish that had gone up him. He wasn't fishing. He was cleaning his fish tank.
No, he wasn't.
Did it get up him then?
He fell on it again. No, these are a lot of blokes.
They said it entered his urethra and made it all the way up the bladder to where it had to be surgically removed.
Was he cleaning the tank?
Oh, here we go. Here was the fishing. A boy from India had breathing problems after playing with his friends in the river, and they found a 9-centimeter-long fish in his lungs.
Nine centimetres.
And in his lungs.
How's this one? 28-year-old Russian man, he complained of extreme pain in his chest.
Sorry, just a question about these. Are these this big when they go in them, or do they eat inside them and grow?
Well, it's an interesting you say that, because there was worms found in a 76-year-old woman from the Czech Republic, and they believe they went in, they're smaller, but they found them 10 centimetres long, and they believe they got bigger feeding on her kidney.
Yeah. Oh. It's nice to see the men aren't the only clumsy ones, and some women are falling off.
Well, let me tell you about the 28-year-old man.
Oh,
he had chest pain, and they were like, he's got a tumour. They operated on him. They found a 5-centimetre-long fir tree growing in his lung.
A fir tree?
Yeah, apparently he inhaled a fir seed while training in the woods with the army.
Whoa.
It planted and was growing a tree inside his lung.
That's why I never train with the army in the woods.
Is that the only reason?
That's the only thing holding me back.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.
Another podcast with Carrie and Tommy is all wrapped up thanks to Alinta Energy. Alinta Energy is honest about how we get to net zero. Find out at alintaenergy.com.au. True power.